What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Track Talk Podcast. We are your hosts, Emma and Hannah. We are back for our recap of the Imola GP F1, but honestly, more importantly, Indy 500, the 109th running qualification weekend. And what a weekend it was.
Like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I think everyone is, yes. Honestly.
First question, can I take Tiny Will Power to Indianapolis this week?
Absolutely. That's why he's here.
I can't believe it's been 1 year of TWP.
I know.
Because you got him last year.
I got him at IMS last year.
Yeah.
And I've lost him a handful of times.
And he no longer has a Verizon on the front of his suit.
He has an eye.
He has been, he's fallen in multiple drinks at multiple bars.
He's been
in multiple states.
What a guy. He's done it all.
He's done it all. But to give our guy, Big Willpower, some luck, I believe he should come with me. So
you can take him. He's great. All yours. Just don't lose him.
I'm really nervous about that, but I shan't.
Okay, thank you. I've lost him a few times, and then I end up finding him. He'll show up.
Big Will almost yeeted him off a rooftop bar.
I can't get over that. When I walked out, guys, still, I walked out to try to find Will because he had TWP, and he's just he's on the rooftop of this bar talking how I talk, like just arms flinging him around. I'm like, you're going to throw him off the
building. Yeah.
He didn't. It was okay.
We're good. Yeah, he took very good care of TWP.
I would hope so. I feel like subconsciously he has to.
He has to. It was like a little bit of actually one of the cutest things that we did in Nashville last year was, remember when you asked him to like tell TWP, like give him some motivation because he was still in the running for the championship, and he gave like a full-on like motivational speech. That was the best.
I know, and it was like for him basically.
Yeah,
like it was like,
yeah,
give yourself a motivational speech. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, we love TWP.
What should we start with?
I think IndyCar.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, there's lots to talk about.
I know.
Okay. I will say we've got some really positive feedback on our explanation of qualifying last weekend.
And I saw the comments. People were like, this was really well explained. Like, good job. And I was like, thank God, because I was like really trying
to
remember.
It is a really difficult qualifying to explain.
Yeah.
So good job. Like A plus.
Thank you so much.
The people loved it. It actually did well on TikTok. TikTok is so hit and miss.
I know. I don't even know with it.
Yeah.
So qualifying, day one of qualifying was Saturday. That was 2 days ago now. And
we're recording on Monday.
Yes, we are recording on Monday. And I off the bat was just like shocked because so they have to draw numbers. I put it on our story, but they draw numbers the night before to see who runs first for qualifying to last. You want to be in the first, I'd say the first 10 drivers, first 15 drivers to go. Track's better, better conditions. It's not as hot. It's less wear on your tires. It's like opposite of F1 when like they want to be the last out.
Right, right.
I don't really understand.
I think it's more
science.
Oval. It's like because of because it's an oval track. Yeah. But like I was thinking that too. Like in F1, you want to go out once there's some rubber laid down, once your track's a bit warmer. So yeah, but ovals are so different. Yeah. So yeah, that's.
So we saw Joseph Newgarden pull number 33, and I'm pretty sure he pulled that number last year. Like I'm 99% sure he pulled 33 or 34 last year. Like he was one of the last ones again to go. Pato O'Ward pulling number 2, which was a good, great job for him. I don't remember too much else that happened during that, but.
Well, I will say, so Kiffin ran third and Kiffin had a huge crash the day before. So I was like, that's actually not in the best interest of Kiffin and the CGR team because I thought they would have wanted a little bit longer or a little later into the day to run just to make sure that the car was set up because his crash was quite intense. There was a few actually. We'll get to that. But he actually ended up putting up a good time or a good speed and doing okay. So, these guys are so good at what they do, working like long hours, making sure that everything's good to go for qualifying and then for race day. So, props to the CGR team.
So come qualifying, after each driver has their first run, that's when we talked about they either go to the priority lane or lane 2. Mm-hmm. But if you've already qualified and you're like in that top 5, I'd even say like not even top 5, like top 3, you feel pretty safe. Mm-hmm. So we saw Potter Ward qualify. His first run got him like, put him in like that P2 spot or P1 spot.
He was in
P1 for a bit. Alex Palou showed up.
Yes.
And so Pato literally didn't run again for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And neither did Scotty Mack.
No. Like, why would they? Like, they had great positions. Yep. But Robert Schwartzman, the rookie driver.
Dude.
From Prema. Again, Prema's a brand new team this year for IndyCar from the Formula Series. He's never raced an oval before. Never been in the 500 before.
The team has never raced an oval before.
He was one of the first drivers to set a time. Like, he did pull a really good number. And he set an incredible lap. And he didn't even participate in the first practice session of the 500 too. So he had less time on the oval than a lot of other drivers. Yeah. And so he set a great lap. And we're like, okay, so he's making it to the fast, like, top 12 shootout.
Right, right.
Like, that's insane for a rookie already.
I know. We weren't even thinking about fast six at that point.
We're like, oh, wow, just top 12.
Top 12, right.
And then David Malukas also getting into the top 12. Huge moment for him because he didn't even run in the 500 last year. Like, he didn't even have a full-time seat last year. Like, it was so, his racing career last year was just like huge question mark around it. Yeah. And so to see him getting into the top 12, I wanted to cry for him.
Yeah,
like, it was so exciting.
I was really happy for him. He was really happy. I could tell. Yeah.
Like, so well deserved.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting when Nolan Siegel went out to talk for his run. He didn't. He was the one who got bumped last year.
Yes, yes. I was just going
to
say.
They said, because, you know, the commentators will just talk. They said that he got accepted to Stanford after high school and decided instead to focus on racing. He was.
Stanford?
Yeah. Stanford.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
For engineering or something.
Wow.
Like, I guess he's really smart, but decided to go into racing instead of going to college. That's an that because I looked it up. I was like, how hard is it to get to Stanford? Apparently really hard.
Yeah, I'm yeah.
So good for you. Good for him. And he did make it through. He was not bumped this year. He didn't even go to the last chance qualifying. Yeah, no. Like, he had a good spot.
Yeah. Another driver that I was really happy was not in last chance qualifying was Jack Harvey.
Yes, me too.
I was so happy.
It was great to see.
Yeah.
But that didn't shock me because we had so many crashes in the practice before qualifying.
Yes.
And like that, I was like, they can't even run today. So like Armstrong was ended up being in last chance qualifying.
And Herta.
No.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about like who couldn't run.
Oh yeah.
Cause Colton didn't run till like, and Marcus till the very last part of day one because they both had really, really, really scary crashes before qualifying began.
Well, Marcus...
Or in... Colton's was in his first run, actually. Yeah.
And Marcus, like... Armstrong, sorry, not Erickson. He was taken away in an ambulance. There was so much speculation that he couldn't race, that, like, he wouldn't be able to for the weekend. Yeah. He was cleared. He's okay. And he did manage to go back out, but... It was their road course car. Yeah. You know, it wasn't their oval car. And so I think that team, they knew that he wouldn't get a secure spot in the 500, but they sent him out anyway because they're like, we just need to make sure that this car works. Like, he can fight for his spot tomorrow, but as long as he gets out today and does something, that way, like, we know what we're working with. Yeah. And that's kind of what their mindset was. Yeah. So Marcus Armstrong was in last chance qualifying. And then we also saw Jacob Abel. Jacob Abel is also a rookie racing with Dale Coyne. Yes. And so it was him and also VK. So both Dale Coynes.
And then Marco Andretti.
Mm-hmm, Marco Andretti, which was a little bit of a shock to me.
I agree.
Because he's an Andretti.
I agree.
And he's racing in an Andretti.
I agree. But you know what? His first attempt and last chance was like, he didn't even have to run again.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he was great.
Like, he was a shoo-in.
For VK, though, he pulled number 34 for the, like, draw. So it was, it's very common if you're, like, one of those last drivers to not even go. Like, you're just going to wait till track conditions cool down. You're going to sit in that priority lane until you're ready to go. Yeah. And that's kind of what he did. Unfortunately, it didn't work out in his favor because he still was stuck in that last chance qualifying. Like, he had to go to bump day. Mm-hmm. But then we saw those four didn't get... Those four, ultimately, like, they didn't get their spot secured. But who did get their spot secured? I don't know. Did you cry when you saw Connor Daly?
No.
No, I cry. I almost wanted to cry. He was so close to to 12th, though. Oh, like, but, to going into the top 12 shootout.
Yes, but his spot was... He was secured. In the 500. Like, yes. His spot was secured. He wasn't going to last chance. Connor went out on one last run, like, the last run
the
of the
last
day,
run.
To get into the fast... Or, yeah, the top 12. So, yes. I didn't... That was... His spot was... Okay, he was safe.
But I was... He was so... I was, like, screaming at my TV.
I was also like, wait, is Connor gonna do it? Like, but he was so, so freaking close.
I know. So... I mean, we're rooting for these guys.
The
right?
thing about Connor is, if you don't know, Connor is from Indiana, and he's like grown up around IndyCar. His dad was involved in racing. His stepdad is Doug Bowles, who is the president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Like, it's just, this is like, he's the people's princess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best way I can put it. You go there, everyone's in Connor Daly t-shirts. Everyone's like rooting for him. He led a few laps last year, mm-hmm. and the crowd was the most rowdy I had seen them all day when Connor was leading, because they just love him. He's their hometown boy. They love him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was really rooting for him to get into the top shelf shootout. Yeah. Didn't happen, fortunately, but he was so close.
Yeah, he was close.
Instead, in the top 12, we saw, technically, I'm going to say all three Penske's.
Yep. And this that point in the weekend, all three Penske's were in the top 12.
All three Penske's. Pato and Christian from Aero McLaren. Marcus Ericsson made it in.
Which is another storyline, because last year, Ericsson had a crash. I think it was before qualifying. I think mm-hmm. it was in a practice session. And they used their backup car, which they previously had a fourth car the year before. They weren't using it. It was a backup car. It hadn't been run. And they used it for Marcus. So it wasn't their top car. And he had to go into last chance qualifying last year, which was really weird, because he's he won the 500 mm-hmm. before. He's a really talented driver. The Andretti really, like, I know with Marco, he was in it this year too, but last year Marcus really shouldn't have been in last chance qualifying. Mm-hmm. Had he had his regular car, I don't think he would have been, but that was the storyline this year. He was quite secure. And he even put up a really great lap on the Sunday too. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So it was nice to see him. He was the only Andretti in the top 12 too. I mean, not surprised about Colton Herta, but yeah, Marco Andretti and then Kyle Kirkwood. They secured their spots essentially afterwards, or Marco did, but nothing to write home about for the Andretti's aside from Ericsson. And
yeah, which I will remind everybody that last year the Hondas did not run well. I believe after like three or four laps, Marcus Ericsson in a Honda and the Andretti Honda was out. Catherine Legg was in the Dale Coyne Honda. She was out. Mm-hmm. Colton had an issue last year too in the 500. The Hondas did not perform well last year. Can you tell me who the top performing Honda is?
Oh my God, you're so right. Like, they really shit the bed. Because I remember making that meme post about it.
There was like eight or nine Hondas that either didn't finish or like were so many laps down.
Like, I forgot last year Honda was a disaster at the 500, because it was just, they were all out.
It was like eight of them. I forgot about that. It was awful. So, okay, sorry. So our top performing Honda is Takuma Sato. He's in second. So that's really good. But in the top six, can you read me the top six?
As of right now, it's like starting grid. Schwartzman, Takuma Sato, Pato O'Ward, Scott Dixon, Felix Rosenquist, Alex Palou.
Okay, so Dixon is also in a Honda.
So is Felix, and so is Alex.
So it's four. It's two Chevys and four Hondas, which is interesting. Mm. Now, there is a significant Chevy team that probably should have had at least one of those top six spots. We will get to that. Let's back it up, though. So we're still on day one of qualifying. Mm-hmm. So 13 to 30 are all set. The next day we have last chance qualifying on Sunday. We end up finding out that the two Dale Coynes are going for the last spot. Mm-hmm. That was not a great feeling, but I'm sure. But when they cut to an interview with Dale Coyne, he was in good spirits. Did you notice that?
He was. And I think, you know, he's a rookie. Like, this is his first
time. Jacob Abel?
Yes.
So I said Dale Coyne. I said when they cut to Dale Coyne, he was in good spirits.
Oh, like, but Jacob Abel was also in good spirits.
Jacob Abel was also in good spirits. I think for Dale Coyne, for him, like, he's the team owner. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he expected this. Well, last year was a Dale Coyne car that got bumped. So
Nolan Siegel got bumped his first time qualifying. Pato O'Ward got bumped his first time qualifying for the 500. It's
what?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah. He wasn't racing for Pato O'Ward, he wasn't racing for Aero McLaren at the time.
For Pato O'Ward,
he wasn't racing for Pato O'Ward. So it's not unlikely that, like,
yeah, a rookie
is going to get bumped.
Yes.
And so there were good spirits all around. I think, like, I don't think Jacob Abel and Dale, like the team itself, like they weren't too butthurt about it. You know, they still have another car in there that's through. What?
They weren't too disappointed, maybe.
What did I say?
Butthurt.
Same thing.
Yeah, they didn't seem too disappointed. I would agree.
They weren't butthurt. Anna doesn't like that word.
I actually don't like that why? Word. Why? I don't know.
Butthurt?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't like that one, but it's okay. I understand.
I'm going to use it now.
It does. Here's the thing. Okay. I know I'm not insulting you at all. It's just not like, it doesn't make you sound smart. Like when I say it, I feel like it's like, I'm always using words that make me sound smart, but I feel like butthurt is like a 16-year-old boy word, you know?
I'm still going to use it.
Do you get it?
I get it.
Yeah. I'm not insulting you at all, which it sounds, because it sounds like I am.
Hannah thinks I'm dumb.
I don't think you're dumb at all. At all, actually.
Okay. But ahead of last chance qualifying, I'm sorry. Did you see Lance got veneers?
How did we get here?
Because I said Lance chance instead of last chance. Oh. So it just reminded me of Lance Stroll. We don't have to talk about it, but.
Well, we can. Maybe in F1.
Anyway, ahead of last chance qualifying, Scotty Mack.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Huge crash during practice.
Yes.
And unfortunately, because it was bad, he wasn't able to run in the top 12 shootout.
Yes.
He's okay, but that, because he already made it to the top 12 shootout.
Yes.
That his starting position should have been, or should be essentially
12th.
Yeah. That's the rule of thumb in IndyCar. And so everyone was like, well, you know, at least he's not starting from the back.
Yeah.
They'll get his car fixed. Everything will be fine. And he would be starting from
fourth row.
Yeah. And then we get into the top 12 shootout. So the top six drivers from the shootout move on to Firestone Fast 6. And this is when we saw the Penske cars, number 2 and number 12, Will Power and Joseph Newgarden, get wheeled out of line and back to their garages. And there is only like an hour for top 12 qualifying.
Yeah.
Like you can run and then you maybe get a chance to like run again once or twice, but there's no need for you to go back to garage. And also, like, once you've passed tech inspection, you're there. Like, you're on the track.
After you pass tech, there's only two things you can do to your car. And I don't remember what the two things are.
Change tires.
Probably add fuel.
Add fuel.
I actually don't remember, but there's only two things
you can do. You can't, you should.
It's like parc fermé for F1 fans.
There's no reason why you need to be bringing these cars back to the garage.
And because you're not, most likely not running again, there is no reason to.
What are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? And so everyone was asking, what are you doing? What's happening right now?
Right.
Come to find out, the Penske cars, you jump in here because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Well, are we talking about what we know now or are we talking about what we knew at the time?
What we knew at the time.
Okay. What we knew yesterday during qualifying about the Penskes is not what we now know today. I'm going to read an in-depth explanation of what it is that happened. So it says, yesterday, IndyCar's focus was ensuring that the series had all the facts related to the discovery of the modified attenuators on the Team Penske entries of number 2 and number 12 to verify that they were in violation of IndyCar rule, blah, blah, blah. After the series confirmed the technical infraction by rule, the violating cars were placed in the last positions of the qualifying session for which they qualified. So when they found out that they did not pass their tech inspection, they were placed in 10th and 11th, essentially, because Scotty Mack was in 12th. Upon further review last night and early this morning, IndyCar will be moving cars 2 and 12 to 32nd and 33rd starting positions for this year's Indianapolis 500. They will start in order based upon their qualifying times from Saturday. The number 3 car did not attempt to qualify on Sunday in the top 12 because of an accident in the early afternoon practice, like we talked about. Upon review of the car and IndyCar impounding the number 3 attenuator, IndyCar found that the car was in fact using a legal and unmodified attenuator.
So Scotty Mack's fine.
Scotty Mack is okay. Therefore, number 3 car will still start in 10th spot, the final spot of those who had qualified to participate in top 12.
What is an attenuator?
I don't know. This is where our knowledge lacks, is in the technical parts of a vehicle. They are also suspending the team strategist for the 2 and the 12 car for the remainder of the 500. There is also a fine placed on the team. 2 and 12 will forfeit their pit positions and will select their pit boxes after the remainder of the field has an opportunity to adjust accordingly. So that's another effect that this all has. So at the time we knew they failed tech, but today we know more about why it is that they failed tech and about the severity of
it. Wasn't like, so Connor Daly had, I don't know if we recorded this, but Connor Daly's car did fail tech at some point.
It did,
but it seemed to be accidental. Right. Like it wasn't anything done on purpose, anything to give the car like an advantage. Whereas the number 2 car, unfortunately,
and the 12.
See, okay, apparently there's talk that the 12 car, Will Powers, shouldn't have been fined as much or given the same penalty because most of the issues were on the 2 car and it just so happened that they were working on the cars at the same time. I don't fully know, and I'm really, really trying to find the text that say it from our friend who is currently there.
Right. But again,
I know.
The majority of things we're hearing right now, from people on the ground, I know it's not any insult to them, but it is all hearsay because we also heard that Marcus Armstrong wasn't even going to run because he didn't fail he didn't pass his medical inspection, and he did.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's just a lot of speculation and I guess misinformation. Mm-hmm. What I will say on the matter is that this does not look good because of push to pass gate a mere year and 2 months ago.
When, who was it that made the announcement at the 500, in the media center? I think it was Doug Boyle.
Doug Bowles.
Yeah, sorry. That was announcing what the penalty would be, what the fines would be.
I believe it was.
So someone questioned him and their Penske speaker saying they questioned that the owner's cars are the ones being caught cheating and that there should be a separation of church and state, pretty much, because
I understand.
I know Roger Penske,
who owns the IndyCar series, also owns these all 3 cars. He owns Team Penske. So
what's going on over at Penske? It's not a good look. It's now both your car, 2 of your cars are starting last, literally last.
Yeah.
Great for Connor Daly moving up to P10 or something, or 11.
I mean, everybody behind them moves up 2 spots. So yeah, it's great for a lot of other drivers.
I just want to know what's going through their heads, not just the drivers, but the team. And this is not just, I'm gonna be so careful how I word this. But this is a team sport. You have many people working on this car, in the inner workings of this team. Is this the decision of one person who decided to screw over the entire team? Or is there something behind the scenes that's bigger here that we really should be questioning Penske as a whole and maybe even Roger Penske or the team? And this is so hard for me to say because we have friends on that team.
We do.
Like, I fully wholeheartedly believe they would never cheat.
Right. But this is the second time that they have been caught. And last time too, we had the same conversation of a decision this to, and you know what? We actually don't know if they knew that the attenuator was whatever that is. But last year with the push to pass gate, it was the same question of is this one person's doing and they thought they could get away with it? Or is this a systematic thing where everyone's in on it and no one wants to say anything? And it is hard because at that point, when that happened, we did have people that we know on the 2, well, I'll just say it, in Team Penske, say to us that they genuinely had no idea. And I want to believe it.
I want to believe them.
Yeah.
But it's hard also because if you know that your owner your team owner is also the series owner, in the back of my mind, you're going to be can I get away with this? I can probably get away with this.
Right. And I think that's why the penalty is so harsh, like moving.
And it had to be. And I respect it. It had to be.
It's a huge fine for the team. The chief strategist being out is, it, I mean, not that they won't have any say. I don't, like, there probably will still be say from them on race day.
But oh,
that's
yeah,
a big thing. And then, yeah, so like, the, it had to be a big penalty because.
Well, I don't think they did enough with push to pass. Like, they got took away the win.
Right. They both got fined. Mm-hmm. And then they.
But
there. It was Sindrick, who works on the. Who's on the two. He. Well, or he, both no, cars?
He's the
both
cars. Owner.
Yeah.
Or team. Tim Sindrick?
Tim Sindrick. What does he do? He's the president of Team Penske. Mm. He was. Disqualified too last year. Like, he was not part of the Indy 500. Like, there were repercussions last year, but a lot of people felt like they weren't enough. And then when this comes out too, and now it's like the second mm-hmm. strike against Team Penske, like, it had to be huge. And people, I think, will still question whether this was enough.
I just, like, I don't get it. Like, no other teams are doing this. No other teams are risking their position in the 500 or like
their credibility as a team.
Yeah. Like, I, every single time something like this comes out about Penske, which sure, it's not a lot, but like.
But the two times have been quite
big things. Yeah. That I'm just like, guys, like, what are you doing? Like, you're losing, like, your fans are losing trust in you. Like, yeah. People are not rooting for you anymore because they don't know if they can trust you. Like, it's like, it's, and this is hard for me to say. Like, you know, I'm a Penske fan. I know. And so, like,
but also as a Penske fan, like, we were both there last year and we witnessed when the two won, when the two team won the pit stop challenge on, I guess that's like Friday on carpet. Yeah. We witnessed the entire grandstands boo.
I know.
Like, people already were against Penske last year and then Joseph wins again.
Well, I think it's because of Roger Penske's ownership. Right. Like, I think that him having that tie, owning IndyCar series and like owning the team, I don't, like, how is that allowed? You know, I don't get it. Like, obviously people are gonna question everything that you do and everything that happens to the team, good or bad.
Yeah,
you know, I just, it's so shitty.
Yeah, I know. I really was shocked, honestly, today when I saw that in, well, the press release first and then the post about it. Like, I really can't believe that. Yeah, again, that's what leads me to believe that they were unaware about this, because why, after push to pass gate, after that being such a big thing, Joseph has so many haters right now. He has won the past 2 years. He had haters before that because of his decisions about what he wants to share about his life and what he doesn't. And so why now would they want to put themselves in a position to have
more
scrutiny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't.
You'd think. Anyways. Also, you guys have a good team.
Right.
You don't need to cheat.
No.
You're good.
Yeah.
You can win this without whatever you got to do to the attenuator or whatever that is.
And last year,
I don't.
Joseph came back from like 17th to win. So like, you're right. Like, they have three very experienced, very competent drivers. They have a good team. They have a good car. They do well on ovals. That's what leads me to believe that it was not intentional, but it is hard when it's the second time something has happened and it's Penske. It's tough.
It doesn't look good.
And specifically Joseph's car. And then he just went for a leisurely run. That was wild.
That was so funny. When the camera just like, because no one was running at that point, I don't think.
It was running on track. No one was driving on track.
So Joseph Newgarden went for a jog, but he was clearly listening in on what was happening in qualifying because the commentators were talking about him and running and he was laughing and looking for the camera, and then he waved at the camera, dabbed, also weird, didn't like that.
I didn't see that.
Thank God. Hated that. And then kept running. And they were like, he's trying to set a new lap record on foot. Like,
I kind of rolled my eyes when I saw him running because I was like,
what are you doing?
Only Joseph Newgarden.
What are you doing?
Honestly, I might cut this, but like, it just seemed like performative. It's like, I work so much harder than everybody. I'm going to go for a run when I can't run on track. It's like,
no, I agree. I don't think you should cut that.
Okay.
Like, I agree. Like, it did seem a little performative. Like, if I was told I couldn't qualify for the 500, I would sit in my trailer and cry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go for a run. That'd be the last thing I do. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, we don't like to run though.
No. after we found out Jacob Abel got bumped, RIP, so sorry, my guy, we then move on to Firestone Fast 6 to see who is getting pole position, who, what is the lineup for the first two rows, because reminder, on this oval, it's they line up three
wide.
There's 11 rows of three drivers. Yeah. And so my money was on Alex Palou at this point.
Really?
Well, he's a great driver.
Yeah. He's just, Alex Palou has never won an oval. And that is the one thing that has escaped him. He's won the series three times, but he's never won an oval. So he did set a really good mm-hmm. lap, but I was like, I just don't know. Like, does he have it in him?
Clearly not. Not for the pole position, but it was, I don't remember who went out first, but I know that like Takuma Sato, he's a really well-known name in IndyCar. Like, yes, he won the 500. I'm pretty sure won the series, if I'm not mistaken. He comes back for these one-off races, mm-hmm. like 500 every year. And so when he, in a RLL car, mind you, was holding like provisional pole position for a hot minute, I was just like, oh wow, like we might see an RLL car like taking pole position for the 500. Pato O'Ward had a really good lap time.
Yeah, he did.
In, like, right underneath Takuma Sato. And then what shocked me was seeing Scott Dixon and Alex Palou like come in with worse lap speeds, because those two cars, they're both Chip Ganassi cars, like incredible cars, incredible mm-hmm. drivers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how are neither of them mm-hmm. beating Pato or Takuma Sato right mm-hmm. now?
Like, I was also surprised.
So I was just like, okay, well, clearly we're going to get Takuma Sato on pole.
Yeah.
I love Fro, but I didn't expect him to get pole position.
Yeah, I agree.
Who comes out of nowhere if not Robert Schwartzman from Prema, and literally gives it everything he has. Do you remember last week when I was like, he's getting bumped?
I do.
Do you remember when I said Robert Schwartzman is getting bumped?
I actually think you should make a clip with like the clown music of you saying that he's going to get bumped.
I should do that.
I think it would do really well. I think it's quite funny. I said Graham Rahal was going to get bumped. He also didn't get bumped.
Shocking also.
So also
that's shocking that he wasn't even in last chance qualifying.
But I think on speed alone, he may have been. But because those two drivers didn't have a chance to run and then they were in last chance, I think it may have been different. I don't know.
That's fair. So Robert Schwartzman.
Well, he would have been because he was starting 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Schwartzman. What? Prema has not been reliable at all this season.
No.
On road courses, street courses.
They never made the Fast 6 ever. With either of their cars at any race this season.
And they haven't like finished in the high points either. Yes. Like Callum is an incredible driver. We know this. He has experience in the IndyCar series. We know Robert Schwartzman has a good track record from his time in the Formula series. But in IndyCar, it's so different. And they just haven't been able to carry over that, like, they haven't been able to make it stick, pretty much. Like, the Prema name, like, they're still building it, especially this first year. So I guess what they've done is just literally spend all of their time and energy on their oval cars. And it's paid off because Robert Schwartzman is pole position for the Indy 500. For the first time since 1983.
A rookie. Is that? I thought it was longer than that. Is it?
43 years.
Oh, yeah, 43 years. You're
43
right.
43 years. 42 years? 19. It said 1983. I think that's 42 years.
Yeah.
43. I'm not going to. Whatever. First time in 43 years is what I've heard.
Yeah.
And I think third time in history that this has happened. A rookie has gotten pole position.
It's actually unbelievable. When you talk about how Pato O'Ward as a rookie got bumped. Mm. Nolan Siegel as a rookie gets bumped. This year, Jacob Abel gets bumped. Like, rookies get bumped.
Rookies don't start on the front row.
Right.
Even.
Right.
Like, that's not a thing.
Right. Now, okay. So remember a few weeks ago when hockey was still making me happy and I told you about the curse of the President's Trophy?
Oh, yeah.
So look up the curse of the pole position at the Indy 500, because I'm fairly certain there's only like three drivers that have won from pole.
Don't say that to me.
I know. Sorry.
Out of the 108 completed Indy 500s, the driver that has started first place has gone on to win the race 21 times.
21 times.
21 times. So it's not a horrible stat, but it's not.
In 108 years.
It's not something that's in your favor. Like, having pole position, you have that advantage, but. Okay, so on an oval, right, the racing is so different. And so you don't want to give your all right away. Like, you just can't. And you need to rely on the cars behind you. And this is why it was so good for Penske last year when they had the top three in the starting row, because they could alternate.
Yes.
And, like, that front driver, they didn't get all the heat.
They work together.
Yes.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
And so Robert Schwartzman's on his own out there.
Yeah.
He's a Chevy. So he has he's Pato, but Pato's not going to help him. Mm-mm. Like,
no, Pato is trying to win.
Exactly.
He has come in second twice. He's trying to win.
And so Penske last year was they drivers are able to work together. And we see that a lot with different teams when, like, those, when the teams have cars that are in, like, positions 2 and 3, 4 and 5, like,
yeah,
they will switch positions, especially if they're in, like, the very front. Like, it's so, because I know a lot of our listeners listen to watch Formula One. Mm-hmm. It's so different. Like, yes, you're in that clean air, but on an oval, it's so different. Mm-hmm. Like, you're taking all of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, the drivers that are behind you, like, they're kind of in the clear.
Well, and the field is so
tight.
Close together. Yeah, that's the difference.
So I don't think Robert Schwartzman, don't listen to me because he got pulled. I said he wouldn't. I said he'd get bumped. But I don't think Robert Schwartzman is going to last very long leading the race.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do think that he'll have a very strong finish.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good call.
I'm not saying anything else about him.
Yeah, that's okay. It's truly unbelievable. I'm really happy that Pato is starting on the front row as well. It's his first time starting in the front row. Like I said, he's come in second twice. He's ready for it. Last year was a heartbreaker. I really want to see him win it this year, but I mean, I would be happy with a few guys. So we'll see. We'll see what's to come from this crazy race. I will actually be there. I don't think I've said that because as of a week ago, my flights weren't booked, but I will be in Indianapolis at the 500. There'll be some content from that, not necessarily driver content because they are extremely busy during the race weekend, but just like the girlies will be there.
Yeah.
Some behind the scenes stuff, what it's like at IMS. I'm really nervous about the parking situation. We all know what I had to do last year. I will do it again if I have to, but I don't want to. So one of my friends who is going, let's please just like plan.
Mac?
Well, I don't know if she's going to be at her place. Mm-hmm. So let's just plan to figure something out as a team for how to get there and back.
Instead of brainstorming the night up.
Well, here's the thing. Remember last year we slept like 3 hours a night?
Yeah.
Like that's the problem is like.
None of us were on our A-game.
We wouldn't have planned because I did my makeup in the media center bathroom. Like we wouldn't have planned this shit because we were doing it like the morning of. We did get there on time for the Canon last year, which nearly put my heart in my ass. But that is.
Did we?
We did. I have it on video actually. Not because I was videoing it. Because I was videoing something else and it just went off.
I'm so sorry.
Scared the shit out of me.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I'll be in Speedway, Indiana. I cannot believe I'm doing it again.
I'm so sad I won't be there this year.
I know, I'm sad too.
I'm not even going to be in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I have a work trip, so I'm on a Riding Mountain.
Well, Riding Mountain's nice.
It's pretty. But yeah. So there's an itinerary for this work trip.
Yeah.
And it's perfect because we have lunch, then we have a break. That is when the 500 is.
You better pray to whatever you believe in about no rain.
I know. Because that's it's like the one break that we have and it's on that Sunday. Yep. And I'm like, I need to watch the 500.
Are we missing any storylines? I will say there probably will be more to come out about the Penske situation this week. Yeah. We just won't. Like by the time next week comes around, we're going to want to talk about the race. Like it's probably not something that we'll dwell anymore on. But
well, I mean, we'll post it on our stories. Yeah. Like we've been posting everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Congrats to Robert Schwartzman. We're excited. 500 is quite literally the greatest spectacle of racing.
We can move on. Did you see the Dylan Sprouse commercial?
Yeah.
So good.
I know. I told you about him last year. I told you the photo.
I saw the photo. Yeah.
He's so nice in person.
You guys also, I love Gronk. I don't know if I've said it before on the show. I love Rob Gronkowski. I love Kamil Kostek too, his girlfriend. And he's a Grand Marshal this year. And I'm like,
He's a Grand Marshal for the snake pit, whatever that means.
Not for the race?
No. I'm pretty sure for the snake pit.
The rave. Well, that makes sense. That makes more sense. But I wanted to meet him. Like truly, I was going to do whatever it took.
I think you probably could.
I was going to do whatever it took. I still will do whatever it takes.
Text Julia.
oh my God, I'm going to text Julia. I need to meet Gronk. I love Gronk. Anyways. So guys, stay tuned to find out whether I get to meet Gronk or not.
Can you tell the people who Gronk is?
Oh, Rob Gronkowski. He's a former NFL football player, played for the Patriots, has multiple Super Bowls. He's like a crazy personality online, loves to party, loves, he's dating Camille Klostek. She's was a Patriots dancer, actually is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. What else do you want to know? He was also on The Masked Singer. He was like the White Fox or something.
What's happening? Something just took over you here. I don't know what it was. I don't think you blinked.
I have a lot of useless information in my brain.
Yeah. Literally. What was that? I was expecting you to say former NHL or NFL Patriots player. I thought you'd end it at that. You didn't.
No, he was a Masked Singer. The people need to know he was a White Fox.
Can we talk about everyone?
I'd love to.
Imola.
Yes.
Emilia Romagna Grand Prix. Kimi Antonelli's home race. Ferrari's home race. Kimi crashed out in front of his crush. So embarrassing.
His crush?
Well, like, it was like probably because he had all of his school.
Well, he's a girlfriend.
I know. But like,
is she in his class?
I don't know. But that's what people online are saying. Like, crashed out in front of his crush.
Oh, man. Man, could you imagine that? That would be the worst thing in the world that would happen to me. Like, if I was in that, if I had a crush.
And you invite everyone in your class, in like 12th especially grade, your crush, right? To like the race
and
to
then
watch.
You crash.
He didn't crash, mind you.
No, no, no. He had a failure. He didn't crash.
I wouldn't go back to school. I would drop out.
He probably should.
No, we're being mean.
No, but I'm like, not, but like, he's set for life.
How do you go back to school after
he
that?
He will be set for life. I know his mom wants him to finish high school.
He will finish.
He's almost done, I'm fairly certain. Yeah. I don't really know when the school year is in Italy, actually, but like, he won't use his high school diploma for a single fucking thing.
Yeah, he won't. He won't.
I'd love to know how many drivers on the F1 grid actually have their high school diplomas.
I don't think Lando does.
I don't know. I have not.
I feel like I've read that Lando.
I feel like Lance probably does.
Yeah, Lance got veneers.
Lance got veneers.
Okay. Not that it's a crazy topic. We don't need to like really talk about it because it's very common for like people with wealth to get veneers, fix their teeth.
Excuse me.
But yeah, he got veneers. Props to him. I would do it if I had money. Yeah.
Does he look like significantly different?
Like, no. Like, okay. He looks the same. And honestly, I didn't even notice it at first because I was like, oh, what's this? But like his smile is different.
Oh, yeah. He totally got
veneers. Yeah. Like.
Right. Okay. We cannot spend any more time on that.
Imola. Can we talk about the race? I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch qualifying.
Qualifying was on while I was at work. So that was something that I like saw highlights of, but I didn't watch. But I do want to say that we are obviously really, really, really happy that Franco and Yuki are both okay. Awful crashes.
I saw that.
Between F1 and IndyCar this weekend, it's so wild to see the technical advancements that they make in motorsport to make sure that those crashes that are deadly crashes don't end up that way.
Well, it's because we have to think like the halo and then also like the arrow screen. We have the arrow screen and the halo to thank for like the driver's safety.
Yeah.
I mean, Yuki's crash, it reminded me a lot of Zhou's Silverstone, yes, like a few years ago.
That's exactly what
the
I
way
thought.
That like he just fucking went upside down, skirted across the gravel and like flipped over the tires. I was like, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
He's okay. And same with Franco, had a pretty nasty crash as well.
Yeah.
Shitty for his first run back in
F1.
Yeah. Not what he wanted to see, but like luckily he walked away from it. He was still able to participate in the race, which was good. But just like terrifying. And obviously like crashes happen in F1, but then when you go on Instagram, social media, and you just see the same clip like over and over and over again, I'm like, I don't need to see it. Like, this is traumatic. And like, I watched it once. I don't need to watch every angle of it. Yeah. Like, I really don't. And I saw that a lot with Colton Herta's as well. Yeah. Like, his camera footage, like his POV, like side footage. I was like, oh my God, like we get it. He crashed. He's okay. We can thank the car for keeping it safe, him safe, but like, I don't, do you know what I mean? Do you feel like that sometimes?
Yeah. Well, when I saw Colton's like camera footage, like in the cockpit, like the sparks,
it's terrifying.
Like, all you saw, I was like, wow. And also like, we have seen and been around the girlfriends of these drivers before. Mm-hmm. I don't think any wives, but girlfriends of these drivers before. And like, they do get very nervous, like they're fidgeting and like very nervous. And I just, to watch that is so terrifying. And then I think about like their perspective too. Mm-hmm. And then them having to like go back on social media
and see
like,
it again,
relive it. Yeah. Right. Like the guys in the car, not that they're used to it, those huge crashes, but like Colton said, like, it's not, you know, it's not my first one and it probably won't be the last, because it's just like a part of what I do as a driver. Mm-hmm. And I have trust that my car will keep me safe. But like, it's just hard for, I think, like the families of these guys, and even them too, I'm sure, to like go back and watch it if they were to like log on, you know?
Yeah. It's just like, it's shitty. So sometimes, I don't know, like you don't really post a lot on social media, like on Track Talk, but like I will maybe share like one crash or two, mm-hmm. but like I don't like sharing in the story. Yeah. Like I'm aware that it happened. Like I'm acknowledging that it happened, and like, but like, I don't need to see every yeah. angle. I just need to know that the drivers are okay, and then yeah. we can move on.
Yeah.
Thank God every driver that got into a bad crash this weekend is okay.
Yeah.
And like is able to race still.
Yeah.
Was able to race still or participate in qualifying.
Yeah.
So I will say there's a lot more crashes this year at the 500 than last year. I know we're not talking about the 500 right now. We're talking mm-hmm. about F1, but like
mm-hmm.
a little something different. Maybe yeah. it's the hybrid system, because yeah. they didn't introduce yeah. a hybrid system until after the 500 last year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I was thinking that too, because last year we really just had Ericsson, mm-hmm. And then he had that issue where he was in last.
And then there was stuff fine. During the race, but like never right. like the one-off drivers. Like right. that was just always weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, but the race itself, though, we saw Oscar Piastri get pole position. Mm-hmm. Man's on fire.
Yeah, except on lap one when Max overtook him.
Holy shit. Like, sorry for swearing, Dad, but like, if you watched the race, you would, I think you did. But Max Verstappen, the man that you are.
Yeah, I know.
I watched that, like, I had no words. I was like, how did, so, it was so beautiful, yeah, Hannah.
I know.
And then he just,
yeah,
you know?
I know. And I think, again, this track was another one where, like, P2 actually gave better track position than P1.
See, I don't know, because the P1 starting position is like, I feel like so far ahead mm. of like P2, P3, and like mm-hmm. so on. So, but Oscar did not have a very good jump off the line.
No, he didn't.
George did.
Yeah.
And George was mad at Oscar. Yeah. You could hear on the radio, because yeah. they were like, go.
Go. Yeah, I heard that. I know.
So Oscar kind of screwed up his own and George's race, and
yeah.
Max was off, and then we saw the Max that we all know and love,
yeah,
that we hated during a year, but we love. And I was under the impression that Max hadn't won a race this year, but he actually won Japan, and I yes. forgot about that. But I guess that was like a month ago, and Max has not been consistently on the podium like the McLarens have. So I think it was seeing him lead the race and then keep that lead, like he was on a freaking roll. I did feel bad for Oscar, though, because he had shitty pit stops both times. But the way that it was his first shitty pit stop, and then he had to work his way up through the grid.
Yeah.
And then they called him in for another pit stop.
Yeah.
Also shitty.
Yeah.
And he had to work his way through again. Yeah. Like,
McLaren was screwed as a whole, because Lando also pit one right? lap before the yellow flag came out. Yeah, I know.
Oh, I mean, you can't plan for that.
No,
but like,
no, you
I
can't.
Think for Lando, they were waiting for something to happen.
Yeah,
like, that's a common strategy in F1, is like, we're just gonna fucking bank on a safety car
yeah.
at this point. And they just should have waited one more lap. But still, it was Oscar who had the lead. This was like after the safety car came
yes.
out. Max still in the front. There is a lot of discourse that the McLarens shouldn't have been fighting and that Oscar should have just let Lando go. I don't agree.
I also don't agree.
Because yes, you save a lot of wear and tear in your car mm-hmm. if you're not fighting. But I don't think Lando would have caught up to Max.
No,
if he had passed earlier.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember the gap at that point, but Max at most points had like an 8 second
yeah.
gap. So it okay, if they want to fight for 2 and 3, but like, is that worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to fight for 2nd and 3rd? I didn't think so either. I mean, ultimately, it was a good race for McLaren. Like, it really was. Yeah. Other than like, they got hooped on their pits.
No, only Oscar.
Only Oscar. Well, I mean, no, Lando.
Lando did too, but like, he had a 2.1. How is Oscar over here with a 3.3 yeah. to 3.4
yeah.
second pit stop?
I'm like, yeah, I know. That was like not great, but. All in all, I would say good weekend, successful. Mm-hmm. It just sucks because like McLaren is held to such a standard right now that like,
but it was still a great it's race still a good
I know it's still like 2-3 is great, but
and, like Oscar is upset at himself for getting P3 and like if this was 3 years ago,
yeah,
he'd be on top of the world getting that P3.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So it's just, you know, it's also okay. I'm sorry, this is about Red Bull. I was staring at that 400 races graphic for so long trying to figure out why it said 48. Because I was like, what is so special about 48? What's happening right now? Because it looked like 48 in my mind and I could not figure it out until Max won and Christian Horner got on the radio, yeah, 400 races. Yeah. And I was like, oh!
You know what Max didn't say to anyone?
Simply Lovely.
Yeah. Weird.
Maybe he doesn't think that it calls for it at this point. But it was his fourth time in a row winning Imola. Like, this is a track that is very well suited to him.
I mean, it's still he still won by like over 6 seconds. Yeah. He had a great start.
Well, the only reason it was only 6 seconds is because the safety car bunched everyone up. Mm-hmm. But still, he had like a 6 seconds. I know. He's still like for the most of the race, he had like an 18-20 second lead.
Right.
That's the max we all know.
That's the max we know. Yeah.
So I don't know.
So like it was a good I mean
we saw Ferraris actually do something.
I'm happy with it.
With a P4.
But here's the thing. I don't think I was paying much attention to the Ferraris, to be honest with you. And if I hadn't looked at the timing at the end of the race, I wouldn't have even known that they finished fourth and sixth because Charles was so pissed the entire time. Like, so all of his radio messages, I'm like, dude.
Well, he had to give up the position back to Alex, yeah. Which I don't know if I agree with.
I don't think
I saw it as him pushing another driver off the track. I agree. But also, like Lewis and Charles were like battling it out for a bit. And I don't know what they haven't really been in that position before where they can. Yeah. So it was kind of interesting. Yeah, it was to interesting. See. Like yeah. We're like, okay. But he finished P6. Yeah. He was P4. This is, I think, their best finish as a team altogether.
It is. Yeah. I'm happy with it. But I'm even happier about Alex Albon and P5.
I know.
And that podium is coming, Emma.
I know.
Like it's coming.
I know.
Literally any day. And here's the thing. You know what I was thinking? It could be Monaco.
Depending on the qualifying position.
Depending on the qualifying position.
I know.
Because the team actually, they perform really well at their pit stops. Like, they haven't had any issues this year about pit stops. If Carlos or Alex perform well in qualifying, a podium could be well within their reach. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see.
I know. I'd say typically qualifying for Monaco, because that's this weekend, same weekend as 500. I'd say Monaco's qualifying is more exciting than the race, except this year, the race, we don't know what's happening because they are implementing mandatory 2 pit stops.
Correct. Yes.
For each car. Yes. So that's a brand new rule this year. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. I really don't know what to expect because it's typically a one-stop race.
Yeah.
And it's like last year, the 10 cars that started finished in that same position. Right?
Yes.
Or was that the year before? No, that was last year. And that doesn't happen in Formula One.
No, never. But it happens in Monaco because these cars are too large to race at Monaco.
I know.
It was last year. Obviously, I'm like really happy with the outcome, but it was like a super boring race. So I was still on the edge of my seat because I just was like waiting for Charles to fuck up or something to happen. And it didn't happen. So thank God. But I'm really like Monaco is my favorite like race weekend of the year, like all in all.
Yeah.
That's why it's above me. but with the 500 being the same weekend, like it is hard to get into like the Monaco headspace because I know last year too, it was the same way. We were like really enveloped in the 500, but
qualifying is like,
yes,
we'll be tuned in for qualifying.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know about me. I might not be in the city, but we'll watch it.
I will be there.
I do want to talk about Jack Doohan.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Okay. I don't, what about Jack?
He is getting so much hate online.
Really?
So much hate from Argentinian fans.
Because this happened before,
too. Yeah, this happens a lot.
With Franco's fans last year.
And like,
I don't recall guys, what it was.
Don't leave hate. I don't think any of you guys are doing it. I'm not saying you guys are doing it. But like, if you see it, like, report it if you can. I don't know. But it's just like, it's so unfair for Jack. And I think it's because when Franco did have his crash in qualifying, the camera, like F1 TV, I don't know if it's F1 TV or Sky Sports, but the camera was on him. And Jack smiled a little bit. Could have been taken out of context. Could have been a clip from something else completely. Like, we don't know the situation.
I see.
But it doesn't make Jack look good when the driver that replaced him crashed and now he's smiling.
Yeah, yeah. And even so though that's probably like not at all why Jack is smiling in that moment. Like,
no,
at all.
You never want to see a driver crash.
No, he does not. No.
Also, that's not, we don't know Jack, but that's not something that,
like, I really don't think that that's something that he would have done like purposely.
Anyway, don't leave hate online. That's all we're trying to say. I don't think you guys do it, but don't do it.
I know we spent a lot of time on Indianapolis 500. What the fuck? I know we spent a lot of time on Indy 500 qualifying, so like our race recap is like quite short. But before we go, I want to ask you about your hyperfixation of the week. I think I know what it is.
Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I knew exactly what it was. Yeah. Holy, I won't.
But
go.
You know what? You didn't watch it last year.
Yes,
when
I did.
When I watched it and Caitlin watched it and we were talking about it in Nashville, you were like, Mormon Wives, blah, blah, blah. Like, what the fuck?
I watched it after.
Yeah.
So good. I'm watching it now. I'm on episode 8.
Okay, yeah.
They just left the Saints and Sinners party.
Okay, I'm on episode 3 only, so yeah.
Hannah, I don't know who I like and don't like. Really? Every episode, I'm like, I hate you, I like you, and then it flips.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just like, that's my obsession right now.
Liked and hated all of them at some point, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just wait, it gets insane. I need you to text me your thoughts when you like, when
what
you
what episode?
Just every, okay. Any thought
well,
that you
already,
have,
I was like, wait, Miranda and Chase are back?
Yeah.
And like, there's like a whole interaction at the Halloween party with Taylor. And I was like, this is wild. If you don't watch,
did you watch the Halloween party episode?
Yeah.
Do you think to me it was overreacting?
Wait, I have not watched. So it was like a split episode where like, it's like a to be continued type deal. So I saw the first part of it, but I don't think I've seen the last part. Like, I have not seen the stripper dance quite yet.
Okay. When you,
so it's probably that you're
talking
about.
When you get to Demi's part of the Halloween party, let me know.
And that's sad because I really liked Jimmy after season
1. I did too.
Yeah. Okay.
Not anymore.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. I don't think. I don't know. Is that your hyperfixation?
No, it was today. But my hyperfixation of the week is actually, this is so weird, you guys. You're going to like judge me. But it's actually Full Speed, the NASCAR Netflix documentary. Okay. I am not a NASCAR fan. I think I might be a NASCAR fan. Like,
well, that's how you got into F1, Drive to Survive.
It was... my beef about it is that it only covers the playoffs, mm-hmm. and I wish that it would get people into the rest of the season, but maybe like the rest of the season isn't as interesting, which like it's playoffs. Of course it's more interesting, but I'm going to be so locked in for playoffs this year because, well, first of all, like we had talked about like talking to Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano mm-hmm. in Charlotte. Were they at the event that you were at? So did you say anything to them or no?
Briefly, but like they didn't.
If I was there, I think we would have... Mm-hmm. had an interaction with them because I've followed those two like a little bit over the past year, but I watched season 1 and I was like, it's good, but like,
is this season like,
this season was so good. I don't know what it was. I don't even think it was anything different, but the storylines that they picked were so good, like so good. And I mean, you're a Team Penske gal, like Blaney and Logano are both, and Cindric are all Penske drivers. Like, it was so well done. But the opening credit scene is what got me so hyped up. It's like the opening scene. And of course, it's like Drive Fast, God Bless America, right? Like this Motley Crue song. Actually, the Motley Crue song that like Fox Sports plays during IndyCar too. Kickstart my heart, your heart. Kickstart your heart.
Kickstart your heart.
Yeah. So it was playing in the back, and I was like, "Holy fuck, I'm gonna run through a wall right now!" Like, let's go. like, let's drive fast, turn left, bitch. Like, I was so hyped up. And then I watched, there's only 5 episodes actually, so it was a really quick watch. But storylines were so good. And like, there's such an interesting dynamic in NASCAR with like Denny Hamlin. Like, we talked about this mm-hmm. with Connor Daly too. It's like he drives for Joe Gibbs Racing, but then he has his own team, 2311, with Michael Jordan. And it's like, that's kind of an odd dynamic because like his driver, Tyler Reddick, made it into the playoffs last year, but like he didn't into mm-hmm. the top 4. And the playoffs are interesting because it goes from 16 drivers.
It's like a bracket playoffs, system. After
right.
That.
Yeah. To 12, to 8, to the final 4. Yeah. But the thing is, the rest of the drivers are also driving in those playoff races. So a lot of times you'll see like a manufacturer's help where say like a Ford driver who's not in the playoffs will help another Ford driver. And NASCAR is huge for like getting a tow, helping out your other drivers. Again, like oval racing in mm-hmm. IndyCar, it's like the same thing. The field is so tight, you have to make sure that you're working together. And then also, did you know, I'm just gonna make quick fast sure.
She likes NASCAR.
Dude, I know. Like, who the fuck ever would have thought? Okay. Kelly Piquet's sister is married to a NASCAR driver.
Who?
Daniel Suarez. He's from Mexico.
I know that name.
Good. He's great. But I did not know. I knew Kelly had brothers. I did not know she had a sister.
That family is like, all they know is racing.
Well, I thought it was so great because Daniel is being interviewed for the documentary and he's like, I think her name is Julia. Julia will watch the race and then she'll watch it back with me the next morning and then we'll talk about it. He's like, she's more into racing and knows more about racing than I do. And then they talked about her family. They're like, oh yeah, Nelson Piquet's her dad. I'm like, wait, what? I know someone else who's Nelson Piquet's daughter. So like, what a crazy family, hey?
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know the second season came out and I didn't know that there was that many connections, but I was reading about the playoffs, how it worked.
Yeah.
And I made notes about it. So I think maybe next episode or one episode, maybe not.
Definitely not next episode, but next eventually.
But when we get closer to the playoffs, which are we in the, we're not in the playoffs.
No, yet. It's not going to be till like the fall.
Yeah. Might be fun to just do a little explanation on that because I talked to Ash Vandelay about it. So I was like, can you explain to make sure I got this right? And so she's NASCAR legend queen. Yeah, she just always streams it and talks about it, but. Okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah,
I'll watch
it. I was like fully locked in.
Yeah,
I'll watch it. The storylines were so good.
Okay, I'm in.
And they talk about how like in NASCAR, the drivers, like once they put the helmets on, are just different people. And I think it's even more so than any motorsport series I've seen where like there's a killer instinct the second they put the helmet on. But then the second it's off, they're like a family man, like a sponsor's dream. Like it's kind of wild, actually.
I love that.
So, I mean, look. You guys know a Netflix documentary will get me, but like I didn't expect to be this all in on full speed. But amazing. Just watch the like opening credit scene, y'all. Like it was seriously like so good.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah,
I will. Please do. Anyway, this was mostly Indy 500 qualifying recap. A little bit of F1.
We are Track Talk.
Catch out for now.